Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see so many here. We're having a break from our series in Romans, and we're looking at this today. It's Palm Sunday, so we're going to look as the Lego movie adequately explain what's happening. We're going to look at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And we read these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Whilst we're taking a break from our series in Romans, I think it's very fitting after what we've seen in those first seven chapters of Romans, that we now come to reflect on the ministry, life and ministry of Jesus. We've heard that Paul made the case very clearly that we have all sinned and we are cut off from God. We are excluded from that relationship with him. And we could do nothing about that ourselves, but God. Isn't it wonderful? But God. But God sent his son Jesus. And Jesus did what we couldn't do. Jesus was the only one who could do what was needed to bring us, to deal with our sin and to bring us back into that relationship and fellowship with the Father. And this is what we see as we kind of celebrate and recognize Easter, as we come up to Easter. This is a foundational, fundamental, bedrock foundation in our Christian life and belief. It signifies the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, signifies the start of the last week of Jesus' earthly life with us. We're told in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The reason why Jesus was born, and we covered this at Christmas time, was that he came as God's gift to bring God's salvation to us. His purpose of being born is to die on the cross and to be raised on the third day. And in Jesus' mind, he's already determined, he's set his face to go into Jerusalem, knowing what's going to happen when he gets there. He's taken pains over quite a long time to try to explain to his disciples, I'm going away, but you won't be left alone, and all that kind of stuff. And, well, where are you going to? Can't we come with you? All these kinds of things, you know. And even now, Jesus entering Jerusalem, knowing what's going to happen, he's still trying to encourage his disciples in what's going to take place, and encourage them that you know, they won't be left alone. Jesus is the Messiah. We all, each and every one of us, need a Saviour. And that's Jesus. So, let's look at this passage. I think there's three or four points quickly. First of all, the King is coming. The King is coming. It was true then. I think there is a sense that the King is come amongst us even today. But there is also that future promise that he is going to return. It'll be a completely different thing to this. But there is a sense that Jesus is preparing himself to be revealed, or to reveal himself as God, the King. So Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem, knowing what's going to happen. In the previous days to getting there, Jesus, there are various accounts, in the various Gospels, there are different accounts of things that take place. But Jesus heals two blind men at Jericho. He spends a day there at Jericho with a guy called Zacchaeus, who we've heard about. Jesus spent a day with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that a crowd had gathered at that place in Bethany to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And that word would have got round. The crowds would have been interested to see, who is this Jesus and who is this Zacchaeus? Wow, what a story to tell. Sorry, Lazarus. And Lazarus, even Lazarus, what a story to tell, being raised from the dead. Also at that time, Jesus and the disciples had a meal at the home of Simon the leper. And on the same evening, Mary, a different Mary, anointed Jesus' feet with costly perfume, again indicating his death and burial, which was about to happen. So, from Bethany, Jesus approaches Jerusalem, and that takes him to a village called Bethpage. The next stop would be Jerusalem itself. Jesus knew what was about to happen, and his entry into Jerusalem must be done properly. So Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village on an important errand. So, second point is the King's preparation. Verse 2, Jesus says, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks or says anything to you, say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them right away." Just that expression, "The Lord needs them." Jesus is the ruler of all, the master of all things. And he needs them. It was not a request. It was not a plea. It was a statement of fact that the owner, the Lord Jesus, needed them, and that the owner needed to submit to that request or to that instruction. I think likewise, Jesus does not plead with us or request us or beg us to do things, to obey him. It is that sense of an obligation out of God's amazing love and grace and mercy towards us that we obey him because of who he is and because of what he's done. We're simply told in verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. For the disciples, it was a clear instruction. And as we saw in the video, in the, yes, Lego movie, and also in other gospel accounts, when they were asked, what are you doing? They simply said that the Lord has need of them. And I think this was, Jesus was preparing ahead of what was going to happen. And the reason why he needed the donkey and the foal was simply simply explained in verse 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And then it says from Zechariah 9, verse 9, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I think there are many, many, many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. There are many prophecies about Jesus, what he would do, what he would bring about through his ministry. But this prophecy refers to Jesus as the Messiah, as the King that would come to bring salvation and to deliver the people from sin. Jesus would ride into Jerusalem in a very humble manner on a colt of a donkey. Now, this is very peculiar because ordinarily a conquering king or ruler would come riding a war horse, and he would come accompanied by an army well equipped and with weapons. But Jesus comes in a very different way. Jesus comes as the, Jesus comes not in wealth, but in poverty. Not in grandeur, but modesty. Not as a judge, but as Saviour. As the Passover lamb. It was the time of Passover. The crowds were gathering. Word was spreading. So what do we find? We find then the king's reception in verse 8 and 9. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and all those and those who followed shouted out their praise. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, the response is immediate. The crowds had already gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover. They saw that what the disciples were doing, putting their cloaks on the donkey and the foal for Jesus to ride on. And the crowd responded accordingly. Immediately, they were spreading cloaks on the floor and cutting down palm branches to spread on the road. And this was a sign of honour and respect. There was a sense that something quite special and unique was happening. There was the shouts of acclamation. There was the praise, the worship filled the air, and there was a big commotion. You couldn't avoid it or miss it. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. I don't know. Perhaps if we were there, we'd start up with Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus the Messiah reigns. The other song, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Oh, perhaps we might even sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God. Hosanna to the King of Kings. And that's who Jesus was. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He was coming and in his entry into Jerusalem, there was something of that that was displayed and made known. And what is great about this is that, well, it's not so much great, but the reality is that this same crowd that did all that, that put their cloaks down on the road, that cut the palm branches down and laid them on the road, that were singing or shouting these praises, 5 days later, 6 days later, would be crying for Jesus to be crucified. The crowd were very fickle. Isn't it interesting? Verse 10 and 11 says this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The city certainly must have been stirred by the procession that accompanied Jesus into Jerusalem. What an opportunity for those that knew something about Jesus to tell those who were asking who he was. There would be people who had followed him, the people from the area that Jesus had ministered in, probably people that he prayed for had been healed. Had been touched by the teaching of Jesus and were followers of Jesus in that respect. Isn't it interesting that when asked, who is this, or who is this king, the reply was simply, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Yet instead of boldly proclaiming, Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah, the promised one, it was just simply a prophet from Nazareth. Jesus was a prophet, but he was so much more than that. And they failed to recognize it. Even those who had been with him had failed, in a sense, to declare that. That there is a sense that then the king was with them. The prophecies were fulfilled. The Messiah had come. And they'd even shouted that out themselves. They still failed to discern who he really was. And I have a feeling there's not much difference today, actually. People say all sorts of things about Jesus, true things, but they do not really believe in him. Some call Jesus a great teacher, or a philosopher, yet they do not study what he taught, nor follow his teachings. He was a great example, but they do not follow him. And I guess for us today, it's a warning. Don't be like the fickle crowd that surrounded Jesus that day, proclaiming one thing, but not acting in accordance with what they knew about him and what he'd done. If you know Jesus, then we can boldly proclaim who he is and what he's done in our lives. This is our testimony. This is our story. Nobody can contradict you. It's your story. It's what you have known. And you can have confidence that when you do that, you are proclaiming God's love, grace, mercy, and salvation. If you don't know, if you're not sure about who Jesus is, then it's good that you recognize that, but it's also good that you find out who he is. And maybe you can speak to people that you know, or if you want to, on our website, you can contact us, and we'd love to share some information and talk to you and to help you. We're here to help you understand the truth about this Jesus. And we're here to help you to understand and to know that truth that of God's word applied in our lives today. You know, I find it absolutely amazing that Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him. And yet, he just accepted it, gladly accepted it as the will of the Father. We are the direct beneficiaries of that. We stand in the goodness of that. And the least we can do, I believe, in our hearts and in our lives is to acknowledge him as the Messiah, the King who is coming back one day. This is Jesus, our Saviour. And he's worthy of all the praise and all the honour. And let's do that. Let's give him that now. Amen.
Thank you, Roland. So